My guide is someone who was involved in the case long before the Attorney General's office or environmental groups got interested. Years ago, Kim Sedgwick and her fiancé decided to build a house not far from the mine, what she called their dream house along Grindstone Creek. Around that time, they canoed up the Grindstone and found a heron rookery. They were so afraid it would be disturbed that they didn't tell anyone about it. Then in 2002, they became alarmed when they heard the mine was expanding toward that section of the creek. They wanted to save the birds, the forest, and Grindstone's whole unusual ecosystem, as they called it. So they wrote a letter.
The one letter was basically when you see the ad in the paper saying if anybody has concerns, you can request a public hearing. And so that's what we did. And from there, it led to dozens of meetings and hearings and talking to professors and biologists and ornithologists. Do you want to stop here?
Yeah, so this is Grindstone?
This is Grindstone.
We pull onto a narrow, paved two-lane road and stop on an old concrete bridge over the creek.
It was devastating to watch. So actually, right down here is where we saw, this used to be massive forest over here. And
on the right side of the road?
Yes. All the way to the county line was all forest. And we watched that disappear, and then it became scary.
It's into Grindstone Creek that the Springfield Coal Company and its predecessor, Freeman United, poured runoff from the mine. The mine was licensed to do that, but it had to keep pollutants in that water under certain levels. It failed to do that. This is what led to the 640 violations cited by the Illinois Pollution Control Board. The way Illinois environmental regulations work, and I swear I'll be brief, companies collect data themselves and send the information to the state. If the state finds a problem, it sends a violation notice to the company. If the problem is not fixed, the company and state can establish an agreement to fix the issue. If it's still not fixed, then the EPA refers the case to the Attorney General's office. In the industry case, though, the Attorney General didn't initially file a suit until environmental groups took action.
We review the permit compliance of Illinois permits and other Midwestern states from time to time, and just to see how things are going. And this case jumped out as a situation where it seemed like a lot was going wrong with the discharges.
That's Jessica Dexter, a lawyer with the Environmental Law and Policy Center. She represented her group as well as several other environmental groups in the case.
So we filed what's called a 60-day notice of our intent to bring a citizen suit against the mine for failing to comply with the terms of its permit.
That prompted the AG's office to launch a suit. In a written statement, the Attorney General's office said it did receive a referral from the EPA, but by that time it was already filing the suit because of the environmental groups. Dexter says she combed through the records the mine sent to the EPA. She looked at 80 months of data and found violations in 79 of them.
There were years of violation that the IEPA knew about before it did anything about the mine, and there were never conversations about how do we meet all of the permit terms at all of the outfalls.
Documents from the EPA show a total of 47 violations at the mine during that time frame. Dexter, looking at the same data, found 640. And on at least two occasions, the EPA sent letters to the companies saying the agency felt that all of the problems had been fixed. Andrew Mason is a spokesman for the Illinois EPA.
I mean, we follow our own process. We do this all the time. And, I mean, if it's not the Environmental Law and Policy Center that's got a problem with something, then it's a local government that's got a problem, or it's a legislator that's got a problem. There are a lot of outside actors that care passionately about the environment, we love the advocates. But at some point, we just have to focus on our own process and figure out what we think is best under the law.
Back at the mine, Kim Sedgwick leads me across a wide, empty field that used to be forest. She says after two failed attempts at replanting a section of the woods, the company is trying again.
So now they did it the third time. So I'm a little impressed that they did it, and they're also using the native trees that we requested at all our public hearings that all the environmentally concerned people stress. Before they were doing anything that was the cheapest, you know, locust and all that, and now they're doing the hardwoods. So, you know, maybe we did make somewhat of a difference, even though we couldn't save the original forest. So, you know, it's good for people to speak up.
Sedgwick says the herons still seem to be thriving and that she is pushing the Illinois Pollution Control Board to compel the coal company to donate the land the rookery sits on to a land preservation conservancy. In addition, Springfield and Freeman Coal faced $65 million in fines for their water pollution violations. That amounts to about $10,000 for every day the permit was violated. The board is set to rule on what the specific penalties will be and how much the companies actually will pay in August. I'm Scott Stuntz.